Boat Trader is America's largest boating marketplace with over 100,000 boats to choose from. We offer simple, comprehensive solutions for those looking to sell, find, and finance new or used boats. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Hell no.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care.
Nope.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Budgets live, not so live from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. And I have officially been home for 7 days straight for the first time since February. And Lord, it feels good. It feels good. This is the podcast for Monday, May the 8th. 2023 for all you low lifers out there, you low life and son of a guns. And if you're just tuning in for the first time ever and you're wondering what a low lifer is, well, now you're that. You're that. You have reduced yourself to the low life just by clicking play, just by getting on YouTube, just by creeping around. You are now an honored member of the low lifer community around here. It's what the listeners of the show refer to themselves as, and we appreciate each and every one of them, new and old. All right. Hope everybody's doing well out there. Life's treating you good as it can. It's crazy out there sometimes, but hope you're all doing well this fine Monday. I know I am. A lot of good things going on. Life's like I said, life's crazy. Y'all know that. It's always crazy in my world. I document it all the time on social media. That's why we call it the traveling circus around here. But there are also very good things going on. Very good things. And you got to take it back. You got to sit back and you got to breathe it in sometimes. And this past weekend, my good buddy Cody Cannon with Whiskey Myers invited the Triple Threat and I to come up to Nashville to their Ascend Amphitheater show. And what a cool night, man. We got to do that back in December down in Huntsville, but the vibe in Nashville is just always special. And we got to take Harper, the Triple Threat and I's daughter, and her boyfriend Keaton, who is I haven't shot him yet. You know, I clean my guns around him. I haven't had to. I like this kid. He's an outdoorsman. He's a good young man. So we took him to Turnpike. Listen to me. Whiskey Myers show there. And there's Turnpike news this week too, is why I'm rambling. But we took him to Whiskey Myers, and we got to stand there on backstage and the side of the stage and watch Drayton Farley absolutely kill it. Young man from Alabama that I've been following for a little bit now. And then of course the Whiskey Myers boys just rip it down. So thanks to Cody for that. The Toad Thumper man himself. It's just one of the most genuine human beings you will ever meet in your entire life, and I am grateful to know him. He's a fine fella, and the rest of the boys in the band are great too. And we split our time backstage, and then we went out front. We had some good seats, and so we kind of went back and forth and enjoyed all that that was the crazy in Nashville. It's Taylor Swift weekend. She's playing, was playing the stadium there, the Nissan Stadium, where the Titans play. Three sold out nights. Holy buckets! And it was crazy down there, man. There was a lot of glitter, a lot of girls walking around wearing glitter on their faces, and every, you know, age, size, and shape, wearing some crazy outfits. We saw it all in downtown Nashville, as always. But wild night, but a good night with the crew up there at Whiskey Myers, and got to thank Cody. And then as I tripped over my words there, Turnpike, this is big. This is big time here. My good friend Ryan Engelman and crew there with Turnpike Troubadours. And I know many of y'all are like, this is a bass fishing show, man. But so many of y'all love the same kind of music I love, so I'm going to talk about it because I can't. Turnpike, new album, August 25th, officially announced. They got a new tour. Go look at the dates. I'm going to be a few of those shows because it's going to be fantastic. But they released their new single, Mean Old Son. It's the first new music in 6 years, I believe. And I will say this without saying too much. It is fantastic. It's a fantastic album. If you're a Turnpike fan, you're going to love it. Mean Old Son's a killer single. It's out. Album's called Cat in the Rain. And it's really damn good. And it's good to have those boys back. The world needs them in that space, in country music, Americana, whatever you want to call it. And they've been through a lot. And we're going to get Ryan on. He doesn't even know this. We're going to get him on closer to the album release again, just because, you know, obviously he was on the show. He and I met through bass fishing. And he kind of attributes it to saving his life. He loves it. He loves it as much as anybody I've ever been around. He and I took a trip recently down to Florida, talked about it on here, but he loves it. And it's really cool to know where they've been. You know, I was a fan of theirs for many years before getting to know Ryan and some of the other guys in the group. And they've been through hell and back, man, and to see them back. And it's a really good story. So if you like good music, go listen to the new Turnpike single, Mean Old Son. They don't need my help. They don't need my bull crap on Low Budget Live, but we throw it out there anyways because we love them. They good fellas. All right, let's thank some other good folks right here. The sponsors of the show real quick, like, they bring you this each and every week, all this craziness, and make all this possible. Like, I would never have had the chance to meet fine folks like Ryan or Cody had it not been for the podcast. You know, maybe in some kind of weird world we'd have ran into each other, but they've become good friends of mine, and they're good people to know and talk to and like-minded individuals, and that's always good to find in this world. I know y'all would agree. StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, most recently for me in a pressure washer. Ugh. Says it right there on the, I just bought a new pressure washer. I talked about it last week. Right there on the damn motor, big old sticker that says, do not put no ethanol in this thing. Do not. Absolutely do not. So StarTron, immediately in there. As soon as I gassed her up for the first time. It burns gas so quick, I don't know how gas is going to mess anything up, to be honest. That's a whole other conversation for another day. StarTron will take care of it in your outboard, in your chainsaw, weed eater, lawnmower, anything, your side-by-side. Turkey season's ending, you're storing it. Put you some StarTron in there to make sure next time you go to crank it that it's not all gummed up. StarTron bringing you Low Budget Live for many moons now and kicking ethanol in the teeth right there. ProGuide Batteries. Listen to that microphone cable being a punk. ProGuide Batteries got them new lithiums in that X21. They're running great. You can check them out, ProGuideBatteries.com. Use code LBL10 right there. Fantastic batteries. They've got new lithium cranking batteries. You can still go old school with that AGM, that 31 series. It's a beast. You can run them for your trolling motor batteries. They're just a little heavier than the lithiums, but I promise you I've stood on them too, and they are rock solid. ProGuideBatteries.com. We appreciate the folks from ProGuide being a part of Low Budget Live. BaitWorks.com, bait-works.com. We got that code Duncan-10. I see y'all using it out there like crazy. you're buying them LOB jigs available in seven colors, the new peanut butter and jelly LOB. I caught some on the old LOB this week. Yes, sir. Yes, I did. I got to fish a little bit, and we stuck some on the old LOB-er this week. But also caught some on a, and I got a video coming on this, but caught some on the new, some of those new mag draft colors, and they've got those in stock at baitworks.com, bait-works. Use code Duncan-10. Get on there. Check it all out. Let them know you a lowlifer. We appreciate the folks from Baitworks. They're good damn people right there. I can hang my hat on that relationship. They good folks. Good folks. Some more good folks right here. Last but not least, hang that freaking banner, baby. Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. The original all-welded high-performance aluminum bass boat. 250 Yamaha shell on the back of that beast. Sea deck bow to stern. Tackle store is like crazy. I say it every week, but the best hole shot in the game, it is mind-blowing. I don't care how much crap you got in your bow. Rip, rip. There you go. Rip. Right out of there. Great in shallow water. 96-inch beams. Great in the wind. Stable fishing platform. Express Boats. They're like family. Trust me, if you ever get involved with them in any way, go to a dealer, check them out. You will love the product line. They've got you covered, really, any size boat you could be looking for. If you're looking for a bay boat, they have those as well. The number one bay boat in the United States, I might add, in that 20, 21-foot range. 21. Go check them out. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right, we got all that out of the way. Yeah, man, I'm still floating around from that old Whiskey Myers show. Baby, I'm a frog, man. I was backstage when they whenever they came out, man, you feel that crowd, son, in your face. God dang. Injected in my freaking veins, dude. It, like, just that place, just roof would have been blown off had it not been an amphitheater, right? Dad jokes. Dad jokes. Holy crap, bass fishing. All right. So, if you haven't seen this, and I just got to talk about this, because I have very unpopular opinions about this lake, and I think a lot of professionals / former professionals, semi-professional anglers probably have this opinion too. Lake Okeechobee, if you did not see what happened at the Roland Martin team series on Lake Okeechobee, single-day event, in my opinion, right up there with maybe the greatest bass tournament that's ever happened. Okay, you hear me? Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. Hit the wrong button, but still. Greatest bass tournament weight-wise ever, maybe. Okay? But maybe, I mean, other than like some of the Falcon stuff back in the day that they had. This was just stupid, dude. And this lake gets hammered. I'm talking about hammered on a daily basis. 365. Okay? It never gets a break. In the Roland Martin team trail, there were 20 bags over 30 pounds. I'm just going to, in case you missed that, 20 bags over 30 pounds. It took 37 pounds to win. I saw Scott Martin and Hillary. They fished it. They had like 29 pounds, and nobody even looked at them. They just threw them back like they caught 7 pounds. I saw several guys I know from down that in those parts posting, oh, I caught 27, we caught 28, and they just didn't even give us an attaboy. Smashed, dude. And I don't know what happened. Like, I wish this week that I could have had Scott to ask, like, what's going on, and maybe next week. And I'm just seeing this as I recorded. I just saw this morning. And I don't know, because it's, you know, they had the Josh Weaver one, the MLFLW Invitational down there. Weights were good. They called them, right? They called them. Nothing like this, but they called them. Then you had the Bassmaster there. You got Tyler Rivette wins it in the river, and they caught him. Okay, no 30-pound bags. They caught him. And historically, for me, Okeechobee does not live up to the hype. Let me say this. It is one of my favorite places to go bass fishing. It is one of the coolest places to go bass fishing. When I was a kid, I thought there were 10-pounders every other cast in Lake Okeechobee. It does not live up to the hype a lot of the time. It's a very specific deal. It's a very timing-oriented deal. You can smash them there. You can have the best day of fishing you'll ever have in your life at Lake Okeechobee. But it's very susceptible to weather because it's such a big lake. There's a lot of things that go in. So for me to see these weights, buddy, I mean, people were all but calling this place dead after a couple of the hurricanes and different things. They have issues with, they've had a lot of high water. Insane what a lake can do. Of course, we got this full moon. Right now, there's a lot of things going on, but I've got to talk to somebody from down there before next week's show because this is unprecedented, man. And I started seeing this a couple weeks ago. Some of the weights were crazy. 28s pluses, which is a great, that's stupid bags of fish, right? Like, I think we discount, like when I was growing up, 20 pounds was like a really big deal. And it still is. Like, that's a great stringer of fish. And at some point, we're just kind of like, don't bat an eye at it because we've seen so many 25, 26, 28s, 30s. But those are just anomalies, man. Like, that doesn't happen more than it does. And for 30 bags, over 20 bags, excuse me, over 30 to get caught, 37 pounds went. But dude, the number, if you go look at the standings, it's stupid. Go look at Scott Martin's post, a lot of Garrett Rockamore. Go look at some of these guys. Incredible what went down on the Big O this past weekend. And just holy crap. Holy crap. I'll try to get the scoop on that, but mind blowing, man. Because like I said, overrated at times. A lot of those lakes are, though. A lot of the famed Rayburns, Santee Coopers, they can be overrated because they're a daunting task to break them down. If you hit the timing of them right, they are not fun at times. And they get an immense amount of fishing pressure because they are heralded famous lakes, okay? So that's like an unpopular opinion probably, but they can be really tough. Really tough. But holy crap, that's all I can say about that. That's really redundant to me. But like I've looked at the standings so many times now, my eyes are crossed, I almost hooked up the express and just started driving south. Speaking of Florida, ladies and gentlemen, Cox Watch in full effect. I was talking to my little buddy, John, my little John boy. Last week, we were texting back and forth. He had sent me a video. Keith Carson doesn't have a hydraulic jack plate. Shame on Keith. As shallow as he fishes all the time. And John, on their off day, was texting me, do you think you could help Keith maybe get a TH Marine Atlas? Because he's riding around with a damn manual. This is a joke. He's afraid to bother you about it. Blah, 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 blah. Two of my favorite people ever. And I'm like, dude, you going to go hammer them? Nah. I actually posted a text thread on Instagram. He's like, nah, I got some 2.5-pounders found. If I catch them, I'll have to catch them tomorrow. Find them tomorrow. Well, guess what? He cockswatched his way into a W, a big win, 80 grand there, and an automatic invite into Red Crest. So, sorry about your luck, Bass Pro Tour guys. You just can't get rid of him. He's like an STD, man. Cox, get it? Oh my God, he just he's amazing. But so is Keith Carson. They finished first and second, dude. That's so cool to me. Former team tournament partners. They think alike. They talk alike. They fish alike. And John told me, he's like, yeah, I kind of felt bad for Keith, man. What? Like, we were texting last night. John just fished the opposite side of the lake from Keith so they wouldn't cross up. He told me in practice that Keith found hundreds on the bed, and he showed it. Keith didn't even weigh a limit the first day, though. He had some bad luck and ends up finishing freaking second. They go 1-2, two best friends anybody could ever have. Amazing. And all I can say is, I don't care who you got on your side. If those two start sliding up the standings on you, I don't care. Godspeed. Godspeed. I don't care who you got in your back pocket. Your mama can't save you. Nobody can. And they'll just giggle. They'll just giggle and cut up and be like, oh, man. Shrug their shoulder. Oh, man. We're just having fun. Throwing our wacky worm around, our Max Scent General. Oh, there's another 5-pounder. And just beat the brakes off of you. Unapologetically so, with a smile. They are a dangerous, dangerous duo in the sport of bass fishing. And I think it's one of the stories of the year. They finished one and two for damn sure. They're traveling today. And so... We've got a guest right now we're going to move on to. Text him right now. No Zoom call again this week. No video call. Zoom, before I go further, I like the Zoom calls. I like the interaction. I hate the audio quality. And I know some of y'all probably would echo that. But it just pisses me off, to be honest. So we're going to get the sauce from this gentleman right here. The sauce presented to you by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire sauce, makers of the all new breakfast sauce, which is wrecking my life, to be honest. I talk about it all the time on here, but it's so good. It's so good. I'm an egg guy every freaking morning, and you just get that right there on your eggs, boy. It's not hot. It's got a little kick. It's not hot. It's like a sweet pepper. I'm probably doing it a disservice by how I'm describing it. Breakfast sauce is a perfectly balanced blend of fresh flavors from Florida-grown mild datil peppers, I think is what they're called, tomato, cucumbers, and spices. Sure to make breakfast zing. It does, breakfast sauce. But this on chicken, I grilled some chicken this week. Just put it in a damn Ziploc bag, pour a whole bottle in there. Let it soak. Let it marinate. The W Sauce. All right. We are going to get this man on the phone right now. Get the sauce from him. He has won $528,000 in a very short career. Very short career on the Bassmaster Elite Series. He's been at it for 4 years. This dude is sneaky consistent. Listen to what I tell you. Sneaky consistent. We're going to get into that with him. Only 55 events fished 50 times in the money per Bassmaster. Sneaky. 4 years as a pro, 4 Bassmaster Classics. Listen to what I'm telling you. And now, a recent winner at Santee Cooper got him a blue trophy. We're going to get him on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Okie, Luke Palmer.
Hello.
Luke Palmer, what's up, dude?
Not much. We know, Luke.
Man, just doing this podcast life, buddy. Just not doing near as much as you, hauling around blue trophies and just living the dream out there, bud.
I'm not going to disagree with that. It's been a very interesting week.
So I apologize for reading these stats off because it puts people on the spot, but you know, I see your name and you and I don't know each other well. I'll say that we've met a few times. I think you're a fantastic guy. We've got a lot of mutual friends in the world, and I always hear great things about Luke Palmer, but we've never had a chance to just sit down and hang out very often. But dude, you are sneaky. What I say in my intro is you are, when you go through your stat line, you are so sneaky consistent. Cause I just feel like, oh man, well, cause you're one of my favorite followers on Instagram too. Let me get that out of the way. You are. Cause you're just real as rain. You're like, hey, hell, I'm out here dealing these damn cows today. Well, I'm out here doing this. I love it, man. I love it. You got a lot going on, right? But you are so sneaky, quiet, consistent. Okay, let me read this to you. And you've probably done every podcast in the world this week. I don't know, but maybe they all read the stat line, but this blows my mind. 55 events. This is what Bassmaster has listed for Luke Palmer. 55 events, 50 times in the money. In 55 events, you've only been fishing for 4 years, officially.
Yeah.
9 top 10s, 16 top 20s, 26 top 30s, 4 Bassmaster Classics, and now an Elite Series champion. Buddy, I think it's fair to say you're not really going anywhere anytime soon.
I think so. Sure. I hope I don't. I mean, you know how things in life can change, but as far as it's going right now, I'm not going to. I don't plan on it. I hope to fish for at least another 2 more years.
Another 2?
Yeah, shoot. They'll have to force me out of this place. As long as I can keep staying and qualifying and making $4 a year, they're going to have a hard time getting rid of me.
Okay, let's talk about that. You opened the door for that because I love that aspect. You know me on this show, I tend to pull back the curtain a little bit. Let's talk about that. So out of all that, we read your stat line. I mean, everybody thinks you're an Elite Series champion. You're just rolling around living high on the hog, right? Bass fishing's an easy way to be a millionaire, right?
Mm-hmm. No, it's. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't trade this life for anything in the world. I mean, I love getting to fish stupid good places.
Yes.
You know, they put us there in the prime real estate when it's firing, and we get to reap the benefits of it. But you miss a lot of stuff,
yes.
You know, and I mean, you do, I mean, you know, as well as I do is it's the, you know, there's a few guys that are just flat out killing it money wise.
Yeah.
Know? And, if it wasn't for sponsors, you know, there's no way in heck you could make it off a tournament winnings alone.
That's right.
You know, unless you won one every single year. But so even if you won one every year, there's only 10 guys that are going to win a tournament a year. And, you know, so it's tough to win it off tournament winnings for dang sure and keep going, but they definitely help the cause out.
Yes, they do.
When you do put one, you get just cashing a check helps the cause out.
No doubt about it, man. And I think that it's it has to be said, and I say it on here probably too much. There's probably kids that are just throwing their damn rods and reels in the lake if they listen to this show, and they're like, I'm never going to be able to do this. But there's a reality to it, man, and it is a grind. You miss a lot going, and especially do you pre-fish a lot? Is that something you get to do?
You know, I've been very fortunate this year. I was able to go and look at a few lakes. Rob, I actually done it all right after Thanksgiving. That way I could hit Knoxville. I came down to Lay, went to Seminole, kind of made a little circle drive there in a 7-day period. So I didn't miss too much work. Looking at that time of the year, all you're doing is really driving around the lake and just finding a boat ramp to put in at, for me.
Which can help. I mean, I've talked about that on here with a lot of guys over the years, is just knowing your way around a little bit, like the town you're going to be in. It does help when you roll in for practice, I think. You know, I think there's an advantage to that for folks that haven't seen it yet. You might find a tackle store. You might find I better not take that. You know, use that ramp. I might get my damn windows knocked out. You know
better
what I mean?
Not stay at that motel.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. You can live and learn and keep from setting yourself up for a bad week, for sure. But well, let's talk about Santee, man. I don't do a lot of nuts and bolts stuff on here. I watched a lot of the live coverage, and I got to say, dude, I was pulling for you. The emotion when you caught it might have been your third one that day. That was a big. Your emotion, like, it got me. Like, it was, you can tell, and it means so much to all the guys, and I understand, but you can always tell when it means just a little bit more because you were close last year at Santee. When you got that one in the boat, you got it in your hand, the emotion that came out of you was just, it was awesome. Like, it was such a great bass fishing moment. And, you know, so I was so glad to see you seal the deal. But what is it about Santee and Luke Palmer that gel?
You know, I think it's weird to say it reverts back to Oklahoma because it's nothing like Oklahoma. You know, I mean, besides you're fishing shallow water and wood.
Yeah.
You know, when we fish at that fall, I had a bad day 3. I should have made the top 10. I couldn't have won it. but I should have made a top 10 that fall. I think I weighed in like three fish on the final day, and if I would have weighed in just I lost seven or eight. If I would have just caught one of those, I'd have made the top 10. But it was just one of those deals where I put my trolling motor down in that fall, and I never picked it up. I mean, for literally, I'd say I went to the stump hole. I mean, that's really the only place you can just put your trolling motor down and never pick it up. And I stayed up there for 3 days, and I like that up there because you can just go fishing.
Yeah.
You know, and you learn where they're at. But this last year, it changed, or from this year to the prior year, the eelgrass has just exploded. And that really, in turn, kind of hurt me.
Interesting.
I mean, that sounds weird. How could it hurt him when he almost caught 100 pounds in 4 days?
But still, you know, threw you off a little bit.
But a lot of the trees that I had caught them off of that year before had eelgrass completely covered them.
Oh, wow.
You know, there was no void, no spot for the fish to even get on those trees and spawn. So that was, it kind of took away from there. But, you know, I just put my head down and fished there. In Oklahoma, if you get 7, 8, 9 bites a day, you're doing pretty good normally. I mean, don't get me wrong, you can go catch 40, 50 fish a day.
In a pond, probably in a pond or somewhere out there.
You know, 5 to 7 fish a day is good.
Yeah. Well, Oklahoma, man, there's something about y'all. I got so many buddies from out in that part of the world, but y'all do have some grinder lakes. It is feast or famine, right? I mean, even fabled lakes like Grand or Eufaula, if they're stingy, they're stingy.
Oh, and you know, and it goes back to that 12, 13, 14 pounds a day will keep you in contention normally.
Yes.
You know, Grand, obviously, you know, those bigger team tournaments up there, it takes some more weight than that normally. But it's not like you say, you don't go up there and just like, I'm going to go catch 22 pounds a day or 25. It's not like that.
Mm-mm.
You know, I mean, it's very rare for a guy to do that. And I think that's what Santee, I was talking with the guy that helps, he does my camera and stuff for me. I was like, man, I said, I'm really not a guy that catches big fish. I mean, it looks like, oh, well, hell, you got it figured out how to catch big ones, but Santee's just got a better quality or better size per average of fish, it seems most places we go. You know, when you crack the whip there, you know, it's going to be a 2.5 to 7, 8 pounder.
You never know. You know? Yeah.
No, I mean, it's a neat place. It can be frustrating. I mean, in practice, 5 to 7 bites a day. That's not really what you want your practice to look like.
No.
You know,
I actually talked about Santee before I got you on here because I saw what they did, and I'm sure you've seen it now. Everybody has, about what happened at Okeechobee yesterday with 20 bags over 30, 37 pounds. If you had 25 pounds, they're just like, hey, just put your boat on the trailer. We don't even want to talk to you. Like, it didn't even matter. Jesus. You know, it was insane, but there were 20 bags over 30, 37. But I said that Okeechobee, to me, at times feels overrated because it can be hard. It is a hard fishery. Santee is that way, right? Like Luke Palmer wins $100,000, a blue trophy, catches almost 100 pounds, but don't let that mislead you. It ain't easy. It ain't a vacation destination necessarily. You're not going to go catch 50 a day.
No, and you go look at it, I was the only guy that caught 20 keepers in 4 days.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
I mean, and I'm not, I mean, I'm just, that's just, I've been told that. I didn't pay attention to it.
Yeah, no, you're dead on.
That's really unheard of in the elites.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Normally the top 10, hell, the top 30.
I was going to say 30, yeah, you know, it'll be.
No doubt, everywhere we go. And for us to be at the Capitol, you know, not the Capitol, but that type
one
of place,
yeah.
And to have one guy that does it, that's unheard of.
Well, even Mark Menendez, who gave it a run there on the last day. I mean, I think he had a 3 fish for 9 pound day in there. It was a hodgepodge, guys. You know, just really kind of cobbling it together for damn sure over 4 days. Yeah. And what's
because
weird,
it changed from practice to the tournament. It changed. I mean, it was cool during the tournament. I mean, during practice.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I packed shorts and everything else to go out there, and heck, I was wearing long sleeve shirts and pants and all kinds of stuff, and was still not just overly warm, you know. So, because, you know, last year we went there, I think it was 22 degrees on one of the mornings of practice, something dumb like that, you know. Yeah. So I'm like, typical. Why can't we just find someplace warm to fish for once?
Well, I think you're going to get it this week at Lay, it's looking like. You might get a little rain, yeah. But I live a couple hours north of there, and we're finally making a turn, it looks like. I mean, it's 80 degrees here as we record this today here at my house. So I think that it's hopefully starting to, because it's, well, you're a man that's outside a lot in all your vocations that you're into, but you, what do we call it? It's blackberry winter, and then it's like, oh, well, then we got this winter and that winter and peach cobbler winter, and like there's all, but we've been having them all in Tennessee lately. I mean, it'll be 39 one morning and freaking 70 in the afternoon. I mean, you just can't keep up with it right now.
No, and you know, it was like we had a decent spring. It was like, okay, yes. Hey, we're about to bust over the edge and things about to get going. Then all of a sudden, wham, like you got a 30 degree morning and the fish were shad spawning or about done spawning. And all of a sudden now we got another wave of spawners coming up and yes. Shad's backed off.
Yes.
You know, but like you said, it's, I'm here at Lay Lake and I'm here, I'm staying at Clint Davis's house this week. And hell, we're out there working in a boat barn sweating to death.
Yep.
So I think it's, like you said, I think the turnaround's here. So I know it's going to be hot at Sabine.
Ugh,
when we go down there.
God bless you.
There is no doubt in my mind that it's not going to be below 85 degrees.
Yeah. That's what, first week of June? Y'all got a couple weeks for that one?
Memorial Day weekend, I think. Somewhere right in there.
What a great place to spend Memorial Day weekend, Luke.
We'll be driving. Yeah, I pick up my camera guy. He's from Wisconsin. Aaron is. And he flies into Dallas on Saturday. I said, well, Sunday will be a fun day for us to hang out and eat some crawfish, but after that it's going to be, you know, back to work. But Memorial Day will be not so much Memorial Day, it'll be on the water, which is what I'd be doing anyway.
That's right. That's
if I was home, but this is going, you know, we'll be there.
No doubt about it.
We'll be fishing.
Well, you're staying with a guy that's got a lot of Lay Lake history, obviously. This is just a sidebar question. I didn't realize you were staying with Mr. Mega himself, Clint Davis, this mm-hmm. week. But is he feeling the pressure this week at all at home?
I don't think so. I mean, I think he's just like, man, I've been here so much. He said, I really probably shouldn't even practice.
Yeah,
you know, he said, then because then you can get kind of spun out instead of just going and fishing. He's going to do well. I mean, Clint, he just laid back old Clint.
Oh, you know, yeah.
He cooked us 3 whole chickens last night. He's got brisket going tonight. He's same old Clint. He's going to do well this week. I've been out there trying to go through his shop before he got back from running his boat this morning to see if I could find any goodies, but I think he might have put them all in a boat already.
Yeah, going through the pegboard, just making sure it ain't, ooh, what's that? Yeah, that looks like an Alabama Coosa River special.
This should be a fun. I mean, I haven't ever fished here before, but I think there was a little derby last weekend. Took like 21, almost 22 to win.
Yeah.
So they're still catching me. Hell, it's full of fish, I guess. I mean, everybody talks about how many fish you'll catch. And it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be a very shallow water deal, which is not something that I shy away from very often.
I was going to say, you won't have any problem with that with your Oklahoma background, will you? You will be fine with that.
No, I definitely get to put the old mobster swim jig in my hand, I imagine. If there's water wheel, I'm going to like that.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of it. That whole river is full of it. I think you could walk across it from one end, from like wherever it starts at Weiss Lake. You could walk on water wheel all the way down to the Alabama River where it dumps in down there. It's Coosa River is a special place. I was glad to see when the schedule was announced. I talked about it on the show. I was so glad to see Lay back on there, and I think we got MLF. I think they're going there maybe for Red Crest or something next year too in the spring. Right. It's just a special area, man, that's bass fishing. You know, they had classics there between there and Logan Martin, so many big events in the history, but they've kind of shied away from it in recent years. So I'm glad to see it back on an elite schedule. Y'all are going to – it's going to be a fun one to watch this week for damn sure.
The lakes have been fishing pretty good then. They kind of backed off there for a few years. It seemed like the weights. And I think they're starting to come back pretty good.
They are.
Unless I'm off on it.
No, they are. And I think every one of our lakes down here and really in the whole damn country, we saw that COVID hangover, right, where people were just – they were getting so much freaking pressure. And you know, I mean, them Oklahoma boys fish, but now you get in that central Alabama, Now, them, it's like I say about North Alabama, Southern Tennessee, where I'm at. When you buy a house, when you sign at the bank on a mortgage, they hand you the keys to your new bass boat, too, because every damn house has got a bass boat in the yard, in the carport, in the garage down here in these parts, dude. They fish, and they fish 365 days a year. They fish.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've come down, you know, and fish and be like, I've called my dad and been like, yeah, we think we have pressure on our legs. When there's like four boats at the boat ramp, you know, and it's like, gosh damn, it's packed. You can't even get in, you know. I was like, there's every ramp has got 20, 30 boats at it, it seems like. Even a little hideaway ramp.
Yes.
Got boats at them, you know, and it, I mean, I was like, I don't know if anybody works down here. No. I think they all fish.
I
think I've never seen anything like it.
Listen, I slid out to, we got a little state, Tennessee Wildlife Resource Agency lake by me. It's about 15 minutes up the road, and it's a good place. It's kind of where I learned to bass fish growing up with my dad. But if I get a couple hours, it's where I slide out to for sure. And I had a couple hours Thursday afternoon. Weather was right. Wind had finally quit blowing 970 miles an hour for the first time in about 6 days. I'm like, man, I'm gonna slide out there. Little bitty ramp, dude. Like, it's hard to describe how small, and the lake's pretty good size. Like, you can, it's not an idle only lake or what. Like, you can run 70 miles an hour from one end of it to the other. But I forget the overall acreage. Anyways, 18 bass boats, buddy, on Thursday afternoon. 18! I came over the hill, and I'm like, what the hell are we doing? I just put it in for about an hour. I'm like, you know what? Like, there wasn't even – I mean, you were throwing at somebody's freaking callin'. I'm like, I can't do this. but they don't work. I'm one to talk because I had slid out there for a little bit, but I'm like, what in the world is going on? But I think that we are starting to see the turn. I mean, I know Neely Henry right down from there is starting to turn around. And I worked an Alabama Bass Trail, did some of their live coverage on lay back in March. And just the overall doing the coverage all over the lake, the number of fish catches you saw, you know, while we're out there commentating it, like, it was impressive. Like, they catch them. Like, that, you get a lot of bites. So, y'all will have a fun week, man. And for me, the coos is always cool to see if all spots will win or if it'll be a mixed deal, or because them big spots play down there, ain't no damn doubt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know it's that'll be interesting. You know, if you're fishing around spots back home, you're in bad situation. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just not good. Because, you know, they get 2 pounds down here, you got 4 and 5 pounders.
That's right.
So it'll be fun. I did come down here and pre-practice, and I fished maybe one day. I fished 3 or 4 hours and caught some of them 2.5, 3 pound spots. I was like, hey, they're stout.
Yes.
They don't play.
Yeah.
I mean, so that'll be fun. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, obviously, I kind of wish we'd just go ahead and stop the season right now, go ahead and qualify for the Classic and be done with the year. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, this week I haven't picked up a rod. Well, I stopped by Murray, stayed with some buddies for a couple of days, and we went to Murray one morning. Of course, it was the day it was like 40 degrees.
Yeah.
So the herring deal kind of backed off, and we messed around, ended up golfing that afternoon. But I hadn't picked up a rod since Sunday, so I'm ready to get back after it and go back to work.
Well, no rest for the wicked. Y'all turned right back around, and then got just a little bit of a gap, and then Sabine River. So I gotta ask you this, man. I think this is to me, I think there's a big misconception that guys just, oh man, they're just fishing every day and they do this and they're just Bassmaster Elite Series pros. But you've got so much going on, man. I see you on the farm. I know you're working with or running your family's hardware store, right?
Oh yeah.
You talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is the first year everything was normally, as soon as I'm done with the tournament, it's like as fast as I can get that truck and boat back to home to go to work. And this year, I think I've been home since I left like February 1st, 2nd, 3rd, whatever it was. And I won't be home for another 10 days or so from now. I've only been home for like 10 or 12 days.
Oh, wow.
So it's almost been really awkward for me.
Wow.
Just because everything has been so compact this year. And then I'm fishing the Central Opens because they're coming to Oklahoma to fish Chief Hall, and I couldn't miss that opportunity. Like I said, normally, like, I'm back to work, and it's my family's hardware store. We've had it forever. And then I'm helping Dad with his cows and his ranch and still mowing a little bit of grass, which I ain't mowed any grass this year. So it's been very awkward for me this year. Because, like I said, I like to be back home. I love being around my family. You know, heck, we work together, and I live just a few miles from them, so I see them fairly regularly. And so it'll be good to get back home. I missed my niece's first two or three T-ball games, so hopefully I'll get back and catch one or two of them before we leave out again. But you definitely miss some stuff, you know what it is. It takes time away from, which I don't have any kids or anything like that, but I could see where it'd be tough, especially having kids or something. I mean, I feel bad missing my niece's ball games and her birthday and stuff. So I can imagine what it'd be like if I had kids and doing it.
It does not get any easier. I've got, you know, buddies of mine now that are starting to, I've had kids for longer than they have. And it's funny watching them as their kids are, because we've kind of lived the same lives, you know, traveling a lot. And it's like the second that those kids start talking a little bit and they're like, uh-oh, this just changed.
Yeah.
This just changed. Pump the brakes a little bit. It's amazing what it'll do. Very fast, too. And it goes by so dang quick, too, man. That's the cliche thing that everybody says. But I had a freaking Instagram memory pop up on my story yesterday from 2018, which, you know, 5 freaking years ago. Doesn't seem like that long ago. And my boys, they were messing around in the boat and in this video, and I shared it yesterday. And, dude, they just don't even look like the same kids. And now my oldest is fixed to start driving. He's 16, and he's got a freaking mustache, and he's bigger than I am. And I'm like, what the heck? And he's this little bitty turd in the passenger seat of my boat in this video. And I'm like, my goodness, it just goes by in the blink of a freaking eye. So I fully understand that.
Life's kind of like these tournament days. It goes by real fast in a hurry.
It dang sure does, man. It's
it does.
A practice day, but when you're out there daylight to dark, seemed like
I'm not going to complain about it too much, because I've had several people, they're like, there's several people that like to be sitting in your position right now. I'm not going to take any of it for granted. You know, I love this. I love doing it. You know, I've got to catch smallmouth. I mean, we have some big smallmouth back home, but we don't catch 40 of them a day.
Yeah.
You know. And so I've been super blessed to get to go up and do that, you know, the Northern Swing,
man.
Fish Champlain, all that stuff up there. It's definitely a lifelong dream and goal just to get to fish those lakes, not only just get to try to make some money off of them.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's a blessing and a curse, the travel part of it, but to get to do what you guys get to do and what I've got to do in the past, and there are a lot of people who are trading, and I think anybody listening, they know you're not complaining. It's just the realities of your business. It can be difficult at times, but so I got one more thing here, and it seems to be, and you can, trying to think how to phrase this, just because this is something I talked about last week. You know, looking at the top of the AOI standings right now, there's a lot of younger guys up there, and you're what, 32 33?
Yeah 32. Yeah,
32. So I consider you a younger guy. I'm 39. I'm still young, you know. Damn it, I don't care what anybody thinks about that. I'm still hanging on to my youth. Okay, I still act like I'm 13, so it's all that matters. But there seems to be, to me, and I think you get this in every sport, and you can, whether all the talking heads, you can overanalyze this, but there seems to me to be this huge, and I think it goes whether it's bass or MLF, a changing of the guard. And what I mean by that, and it's good to see, it's refreshing to see, is that the newer talent, you're 4 years into your career with the elites, but the newer talent is starting to really establish themselves as the guys that we're going to be talking about all the time. And that's the Brandon Cobbs and Shane LaHughes, Kyle Welchers. I'm going to leave somebody out and they're going to get mad, and that's fine. But the Luke Palmers of the world, man, and we're seeing that shift. Why is that, do you think? Is it just time? Is that what happens? You know?
You know, I think it is just things finally, they change. I mean, you know, you get guys that retire and go on, you know, or do whatever, just like when Jeter retired from the Yankees, it's like, well, that's over with. Like,
yeah,
he wants to watch the Yankees. You know, I mean, I always liked watching Jeter. I mean, that was one of my favorite baseball players. And it was kind of like, well, what are we going to do? Well, then you got another guy steps up, and, you know, it's just how time works, you know. And sometimes it sucks, and, you know, but it's, you know, it's just time, you know. I think, you know, I'm just going to put my name in with whatever these, you know, we're starting to get to the point in our careers now, once you get past that third or fourth year, it seems like you start understanding what you're doing.
Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm here to fish. You know, up to this point, I'm here to fish, but it was like this last year when everything kind of worked out and sponsors and stuff like that, getting established with them, you really start seeing a change. And they're, because you know as well as I do, the first few years of your career, sponsors are going to be like, hope this guy makes it. I mean, they're taking a chance.
No doubt about it.
Because we could easily bomb out in 2 years. You know, I mean, it can happen. Or you can just have one bad year and it completely changed your whole career. So I really think that there's, you know, Cook, Walters, you know, because we all got there at the same time. It's like you'd start seeing us kind of get more in a groove with things.
Get your footing.
You know, we understand how to talk on TV a little better. You know, we just starting to feel like we're more established. Like, hey, I'm a professional fisherman. This is what I'm doing, you know. And I think that's what you see out of us coming up now.
Just that transformation from rookie, new face to veteran, really. I mean, you're 4 years into it. You start taking on that veteran role, not necessarily like an old, you know, crusty old man veteran like Gerald Swindle. He's old, you know, old hobbled up ass, you know, not anybody like him, but you know the kind. You know, we all know the kind. Not a Gerald Swindle, you know, kind of person.
Just established person on
you,
the tour.
You mentioned sponsors. Are you seeing that though? Are you feeling that in the fishing industry now? I mean, is that starting to get some, I don't want to say vindication, that's not really a good word, but you're right. In those first couple of years, everybody's like, I made the elites, I want sponsors. And sponsors are like, okay, thanks for coming by. You know, I mean, it's hard, man. I talk to a lot of people on here that say that, and I've experienced that myself just in the sponsor world, fishing FL. It's very tough. It's a hard, hard thing to do. But are you starting to notice that now?
I am a little bit. You know, several of my sponsors I've been with, you know, midway through the first year of my career, and they keep staying around. And it's a lot of times if you do your job for them, when they ask for something, you take care of them. They're your boss.
Yes.
You know, you got several bosses. And when they ask for something, you do what they say, whatever they need, you take care of what they need, you know, and they're going to take care of you in return. And I've tried to do that the best I can with mine. And I think it's really kind of mine has helped me this year. I've got Aaron, he's traveling with me, and we've got the YouTube series started and doing that, and it's really helped. I mean, obviously, he's getting top good-notch photos of me, and we're able to get videos out, and it's a lot easier to do a video when you got someone holding the camera for you.
For sure.
You know, to help you do stuff, and just my content, I've seen like it's a lot better instead of Luke with the selfies every day. So that's, and I've actually enjoyed it. I never thought I would. Because I've never been a social media person, you know, up till the last 4 or 5 years, when you dang sure better be, you know. And I've really enjoyed it. We've had a lot of fun doing the YouTube stuff. And it goes back to where you find out that Luke's not this complete, straightforward, all the time, non-joking, you know, get business done. You know, I do have this side that I'm having a good time and hanging out with my buddies and, you know, just enjoying life, joking, cutting up. You know, that's part of it. You got to enjoy this anyway.
Yeah, you do. And I think it's so important to share that with you, if you don't mind, you know what I mean? Oh, yeah. And you're that guy that can let loose and show that. I just think that that helps people, you know, bond with you through social media. They're like, oh my God, Luke's just, man, this guy, he just won the Elite Series, but he's also just like me, and he's a hard worker, and he's got this. And I think showing that family side of your life so important, man. I think, you know, with the family business, all that is so great to share with the world. If you're okay with it. And I think that's kind of what I've done. I feel like, I kind of crossed a threshold at some point where I was like, hell, I don't mind sharing, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly that we got going on around here. And I think people, and I enjoy, because, you know, it really started for me when my mom passed in 2019, and I just hit record on one of my podcasts and I start talking about it, and the overwhelming amount of comments, people are like, I lost my mom to cancer, I lost my dad. It helped me get through that really dark time in my life. And I say that, and dude, social media can for all the people that also get on posts and are like, I hate LiveScope. I hate people that use nets. You know, whatever. Yeah. Like, there were probably people that were like, Luke Palmer shouldn't be catching bass like that at Santee Cooper. It's bad for the bass. Whatever. People are just always bitching about something. But I think that there's a lot of good things that come from social media. That's why I keep doing it, honestly, because it overrides the negative. I mean, the positive seems to override the negative for sure. So, you know, kudos to you for doing that, man. And what's your channel just right here, since we got a lot of YouTubers watching it?
It's all my stuff, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, it's all Luke Palmer Fishing.
Okay.
But the YouTube, it's actually Living the Bass Life.
Okay, and, Living the Bass Life.
And then it's, you can still pick it up under Luke Palmer Fishing too. So,
okay.
That's been really fun. I mean, I've really enjoyed that. I didn't think I would, but Aaron, me and him are like best buddies, and it clicks with us. I mean, me and him can just go and joke, have a good time, and he's going to give me hell when I do good or when I do bad. It doesn't matter. But he keeps me positive, and it's been a lot of fun.
It's good to have that too, man. I had a guy travel with me the last year I fished the FLW Tour, became a lifelong friend, and going through all the roller coaster ride that is a professional bass tournament with somebody like that that's watching from behind a lens, and they don't really have, I don't want to say anything invested, right, like we do, but they do get emotionally invested, and it becomes a team. And so I know what you're saying. It's fun, man. You go through all the ride together, and it really does make for – because I didn't know what to think about whenever I first kind of kicked around doing it. And Austin Boyd, shout out to him if he's listening this week, but rode with me. Hell, he turned 21 while he was with me. I got to buy him his first legal beer. And, like, we had a lot of, like, life moments happened, you know, that year on the road. And it was awesome, man. So I'm glad you're doing that. And y'all be sure to go follow Living the Bass Life and Luke Palmer Fishing on everything if you're not. Because his social content, I love it just because you're, like I said at the first, you're real, man. And I love that. All right, one quick thing before I let you get back to Clint Davis Brisket and hearing him tell stories of all the giants he's caught on the Coosa River. Be sure to tell Clint Davis I was talking, man, Luke Doug was talking so bad about you on Low Budget Life. I love Clint Davis.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of my favorite people, man. He's so damn funny. So funny. So you're an Okie boy. I got to ask this just because I opened the show talking about music. Are you a Turnpike Troubadours guy?
You know, I am. People get in my truck and they are so blown away by the music I listen to, because my playlist is allowed to go from Red Dirt Country to rap to Christian music to just everything
across the board, huh?
And I do like music. I like it in the background. You know, I do like Red Dirt. I sit there and listen to it quite a bit. But you know, I still gotta break out the rap every now and then to get me pumped up.
Me too. Me too. What rap are you on right now? I got to ask you that then. What's your you know, what's the Luke
still,
Palmer
I'm still
jam?
Back in my high school days.
Okay.
The late 2000s.
Same.
You know, or well, late 2000s. Shoot, I guess now. Geez, man, talk about time.
Mid 2000s.
Okay, let's go back to 2007 to.
I was gonna say mid 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think I couldn't tell you half the words to half of it, but I like the beat of it and kind of gets me going. And
I got to hear what's the number one though. What's your go-to? If you're getting in there and you got the iPhone, you got it plugged in and you're headed to the ramp to win $100,000 on Santee, what's the jam? I got to know this. I'm interested now. I'm invested.
Well, this will mine is Rap Strength Training on Pandora. That's what the music I listen to.
Okay.
I like
it. It's just
it,
a station.
But yeah, that's my Pandora. And then, but Aaron, like, it came on that morning. We were going to the ramp. When I came out to the Classic, I came out to Mo Bamba.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, everybody's like, what the hell is he listening to? I mean, that's, you know, it was just kind of more of a funny thing going on than anything, because I've always liked the beat of that song.
Yeah.
But it was funny. So that's probably one of the ones we listen to quite a bit.
I love it, man. Luke Palmer. That's you're sneaky consistent. You're sneaky on your music choices. I love it, dude. I wouldn't have pegged you for a rap guy, but hey, I think there's something about growing up as a redneck, and I think you represent that like I do. We're country guys. We're rednecks. You're out and hunting and fishing and working with cows and all that. And, dude, there's something about being country. You're going to listen to a little red dirt music. You're going to listen to some rock, and you're going to listen to some rap. We used to have those mixed CDs, you know, burn CDs, and you never knew what every other song was going to be, son. It's a guarantee.
Oh yeah. Anything and everything. You didn't know what you were going to hit put a CD in.
It could be anything from freaking Dr. Dre to damn Cross Canadian Ragweed in my truck. You never knew, buddy.
For sure.
But all of us were going to enjoy it. All my buddies are the exact same bipolar freaking music addiction, you know, like I had. But Luke Palmer, I appreciate you, man, taking the time to do this. I know it's been a busy, busy week, but go win another one of them damn things on Lay Lake and bring it back to Clint Davis's house and make him cook for you.
I would love to grab another one this year. I don't know. You finally get to that point where you start, you know, I said on stage, where you start second guessing yourself if you can win one of these things. And to finally get it done, I hope it gives me that, okay, hey, I know what it feels like. I want to get me one now.
No doubt.
You know that you can possibly do it. Why not get another one?
Just chase.
I've definitely enjoyed this one. I'm not going away from it yet.
You keep soaking it in, keep enjoying it, but you got a little bit of work to do again this week, so get back after it.
We're going to get at it, no doubt.
All right, Luke Palmer, everybody. I appreciate you, man. Good luck this week.
All right, thanks, Luke.
Thanks, man. Luke Palmer right there. I like that dude. That was a fun conversation. I hope y'all enjoyed that. Got the sauce presented by the W Sauce right there, Luke Palmer. And a little redneck, a little rap. I like that. This is basically my playlist all the time. I find it fascinating. And so many of y'all lowlifers, I know you listen week in and week out, and I get to talk to so many of these guys that win tournaments and are dominant in different things. And Dustin Connell said the exact same thing that Luke said right there. Once you get a bite, once you get a taste of winning, it does something to you. And if you've ever won any kind of tournament, you know that. Once you realize, oh, hell, I can do this, changes everything. So this will not be the last blue trophy we see from Luke Palmer. That is 1,000% for sure. All right, boys and girls, lowlifers of all ages, I'm going to take you out with a little bit of Biloxi Blues on the back end here today. I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in. And I'm going to see y'all next week for some more Low Budget Live. Hope you have a good week. See ya.
Super low, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
You want to succeed, you want to fish, you want to be
one of the greatest.
Tune in to West Marine's Life on the Water, presented by Costa Custom Boats, every Saturday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
You'd think, with four of us spread out on a tiny island, that the task of tagging a whitetail would not be a big thing. But, as I've learned, no matter where I've been, whitetails can be damn tricky.
Pursuing wild game in wild places. Tune in to Hunt Stand Presents Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.